If you travel to Rome, there is in Rome many ancient monuments, but one of them is something known as the Arch of Titus. The Arch of Titus was constructed in 82 AD. It was constructed by the Emperor Domitian, and it was built in commemoration of, as you might expect, Titus. Titus had recently died, and the Arch of Titus was a commemoration of the great achievements that Titus had accomplished during his lifetime. One of those achievements was the siege of Jerusalem in AD 70, that Titus, the general, came in and destroyed the temple. And as he destroyed Jerusalem, he took away the spoils of his victory. But if you go to Rome, if you're on the Via Sacra, if you come to the arch, that great huge monument, it still stands 2,000 years later. It is something great in size. But what is especially striking about it is that engraven into it is a figurative representation of the golden lampstand. That what we're looking at this evening is engraven into human history. It's a reminder to us that as we're looking at these things, we're not just looking at fables. We're not just looking at stories. We're looking at things that are part of human history and that have been etched into history, reminding us that what has happened in the past informs and continues to shape the way that we live in our own day as well. But this evening we want to look at Leviticus 24, and we're looking really at two concepts, two rituals, and both of them are called continuous rites, meaning that they were ongoing, they were always doing them. There are several of these rites in the Old Covenant, and two of them are mentioned here, the Bread of Presence and the lampstand that was continuously monitored. But as we're coming to look at these two rituals this evening, it's good for us to take note of where we are in Leviticus. Last time we looked at the Feasts of Israel. And in the Feasts of Israel, we were really stepping back and appreciating what was being communicated there. Israel was learning how to govern their time. They were given not just a seven-day Sabbath, where they, every 7 days, they were to cease from their labor and they were to remember their God who had created them. But they also had all these feasts throughout their year, remembering and commemorating the fact that the Lord provided for them, the harvests that they enjoyed, their deliverance from Egypt, were structured in like a skeleton to help them use their time well. And to be able, with their time, to say what matters to them. What is it that they are celebrating? And so in Leviticus 23, we saw all these different feasts that were to mark their annual calendar. Lord willing, if we are able to, we'll come to Leviticus 25. And when we get to Leviticus 25, you'll notice that it too is dealing with the sacredness of time. It is dealing with the idea of the land Sabbath, that there is every 7 years a counting of time and allowing the land itself to have a Sabbath rest. More than that, they are going to be taught about something called the Year of Jubilee. And so again, there is this counting of time, that time is to be commemorating and celebrating God above all else. And so when you step back and you think about what Leviticus is talking about here, these chapters are about time. It might seem strange then to come to Leviticus this evening and to see it talking about the lampstand and the bread of presence sandwiched in between all these references to how you have to use your time and how to celebrate the Lord with our time. But if we begin to dig a little bit, we begin to see that the connections are there. And it helps us understand and to appreciate why it's being brought up even now. We will find connections between these rites and the surrounding feasts. For instance, the olive oil that is going to be mentioned for the lampstands is something that they would have harvested during the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the last feasts mentioned in the previous chapter. The bread of presence is also connected back to the weekly Sabbath ritual as well. And so even in these rites, these ceremonies, they too are connected with the calendar of Israel. But as we come to look at these verses this evening, we want to see the continuity of these chapters in order to appreciate the ceremonies themselves. The bread of presence and the lampstand in the tent of meeting. What we want to come away with understanding is that Israel was to learn that God's presence is their supreme calling and their greatest privilege. To stand in God's presence is their chief delight. It is their great privilege. It's what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 27. One thing I have desired after, to stand in God's house and to gaze on his beauty. That's what this whole ceremony is about. And so we want to look at it in these two thoughts. We want to think about the continuous shining of the light and the continuous presence of the bread. First, there is the continuous shining of the light. It says first in verse 1, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall arrange it from evening to morning before the Lord regularly. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall arrange the lamps on the lampstand of pure gold before the Lord regularly.'" We read elsewhere in the book of Exodus that the initial oil that was used in the lampstand was provided by the rulers of Israel, by the leaders of Israel. But eventually it was something that was to be supplied by the people in general. They were to bring it to the Levites, who were then to use it in making sure that the light of the lampstand continued to be lit. It's interesting, there have been excavations done. And in one place, in a place called Ekron, they have found that there were over 100 olive presses located. And all of them were found in ordinary homes. So it was really a cottage industry, the making of olive oil for the lampstands in the temple. But here it's talking about the work of the lampstand, or the meaning of it. And if you've ever heard of the word menorah, that is where we're getting this word for the lampstand. The lampstand was situated in the tent of meeting on the south side, where the priest would be serving, and it would later be used in the temple. It's this lampstand that was etched into the Arch of Titus that we're looking at this evening. This lampstand that was to be tended to by the priests. What stands out, though, in those verses there is the word regularly. Three times in verses 2 through 4, it tells them that they are to tend to this regularly. Now, you young people, if your mom or your dad has to tell you something three times, what do you come away thinking? This has to be very important. You know, if they tell you, make sure that you do this job, or make sure that you watch your little brother or your little sister, you know that must be very important because they've said it now to me three times. God is saying something here three times to the people. The light must be lit, and it must be kept lit, and it must be regularly lit. Why is that so important? The priests were to ensure that the lampstand lit because of the function that it conveyed. The light was a symbol that represented the presence and the favor of God's blessing. And so it was important for Aaron, the high priest, and for the priests in general to ensure that the lamp was shining light. In the scriptures, light is continuously associated with God. God caused Abram to fall into a deep sleep. You remember, and it tells us that a smoking fire pot passed between the divided animals when God made a covenant with them. You remember that when Moses saw the burning bush God's presence was communicated through a bush being on fire, through the light that came from that fire. You remember when Israel was led up out of Egypt, as they wandered through the wilderness, there was the pillar of fire that guided them. The light was a way of communicating God's presence. We sang there in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. To whom shall I be afraid?" God is associated with light. Psalm 89 says, "Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face." So here, this command, make sure the lampstand is lit, is stressed to the priests. It is to be lit from evening till morning. This is a way of communicating the presence and the favor of God. But in many ways, this would have been pretty mundane work. If you're a priest, you're being told, make sure that you trim the wicks and make sure that there's oil for the lamps. That's what you're to do day by day. And that might seem like small potatoes. What difference does any of this make? But the priests were to understand that it was important because it was commanded by their God. And it was important because of what it accomplished. We can sometimes feel frustrated by the tediousness of our work. Sometimes we can feel like the work that we're doing is pointless. Why do I have to do this schoolwork? Why do I have to do a job that doesn't really seem to make any difference? And if we don't see any value in our work, we can become very disenchanted. We can become very discouraged as a result. But the priests here were called to do their work knowing that it was commanded, but also knowing that it was valuable. It communicated and it accomplished a great purpose, the purposes of God. And so when we think of our regular tasks, the tasks that we do from day to day, many of them will be boring. Many of them may not seem especially striking to us. But as one person has pointed out, any task that is done in the name of our High King becomes a sacred and a holy task. The ordinary activities of preparing meals, the ordinary activities of doing chores, the ordinary activities of doing your job are tasks that are the ordinary means by which you are called to honor your King. But it's also significant. The scriptures tell us that we are to take care of our family, to provide for our family, to support our family. That's not anything that's going to get a lot of attention. It may not be something that is especially exciting. But when it's a task that is done in obedience to our High King, it is a holy task, and it is pleasing and approved in His sight. That's what the priests were to learn as they made sure that the lampstand gave light day by day. Make sure you do that because it communicates something, God's presence with us. And so when we are doing our acts of obedience, we are celebrating the righteousness of God, His wisdom in telling us how to live and accomplishing His purposes through the ordinary means. So there's the continuous shining of the light. But there's also the continuous presence of the bread. It says in verses 5-9, You shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf. And you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each pile, that it may go well. That it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. They were to put out these 12 loaves and to put them in two piles, 6 in a pile. The 12 loaves corresponds to the 12 tribes of Israel. But those 12 loaves that are being put out also are accompanied with frankincense. Most likely that frankincense is being put in a separate bowl to keep it distinct from the bread. Frankincense was a very costly gift, and so it's meant to express commitment and devotion to the Lord. But it says there in verse 8 that every Sabbath day Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And then in verse 9, they were to remove the loaves from the previous Sabbath, and that became food for Aaron and his sons. So you have the preparation of this bread. But what's the purpose of this whole ritual? The setting of the bread on the table each Sabbath is described as a covenant. It is described as a covenant forever, or as a sign of the covenant of Sinai. As the priests set the loaves on the bread, they were expressing their faithfulness to the Lord as their king. And that would have been an appropriate sign. You think about how covenants were established in the ancient world. They would oftentimes be established over a meal, where you have two parties that are entering into an agreement together. We sit down now, and we will eat together. Right? There will be two warring factions, two families, two tribes. But when they come and they eat together, it symbolizes the unity that they now share together. And here, there is this meal that is being prepared, showing the covenant between God and his people. In this case, the priests are eating on behalf of the people, but they're confirming their covenant with the Lord every time that they did so. But what is important to notice is that it happens on the Sabbath. It's to see that their covenant relationship with the Lord is centered around the idea of Sabbath rest. The changing of the bread on the Sabbath is central to its meaning. The Sabbath, as mentioned, has been referred to as the eternal covenant, a sign between the Lord and Israel. And it is the observance of the Sabbath that expressed the people's faithfulness to the Lord. And so this lampstand in the tent of meeting is meant to shine down on the 12 loaves of bread, which served as a symbol of God's covenant with his people. But we made a big point of understanding where this is in Leviticus. We were saying that Leviticus here is helping the people of God understand how to think about time. Time belongs to God. And God is to be prioritized in the way that they use their time. But now through this ceremony, the people are to understand what the Sabbath is ultimately about. The Sabbath is not just about not working. The Sabbath is about entering into the rest with God. The picture of the Sabbath here is given to them. The light of the lampstand shining on the bread. The bread representing the people, the light representing God's presence. The purpose of the Sabbath is so that the people would come to bask in the light of God's favor. You think about how when the summer comes, so many people will come to the island. And the number one thing they will do is they will go to the beach. They will just lay in the sun. They will take in the heat, the sun rays, and enjoy the warmth of the sun. Here in this ceremony, the people were to understand that they were to bask in God's light, in the glory of God as it's revealed to them. As one person has said, the 12 tribes of Israel, the picture here is the 12 tribes of Israel basking in the divine light, being renewed in God's presence Sabbath by Sabbath. It is meant to picture what the goal of God's covenant is and how it is to shape all of time. There's that idea of time. Time carries on. And as time carries on, we see how it is slipping between our fingers. Sometimes it can be frustrating to see how time carries on. Everything is constantly changing. Things are slipping away from us. What is the meaning of time when I can't grab hold of it? And here the people were to learn. Time is to be prioritized around God. But time well served is time that is dedicated to the Lord. It is to come and to see God and to be delighting in his glory. And so this ceremony simple and yet profound. Light and bread. The light shining on the bread. Regularly, the bread is being replaced, Sabbath by Sabbath. It's the idea of regularity, of constancy, of ongoing communion with one's God. When Jesus came into this world, the glory of the Lord tabernacled with us. The Son of God pitched his tent with us. But you remember that Jesus, during his earthly ministry, said what? I am the light of the world. That he is the lampstand that communicates the presence of God. That he came to make God's glory known to his people so that they could bask in God's greatness. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came in order that we would know God, that we would no longer be estranged from God, but that we would be reconciled to him through his death on the cross. Not only did Jesus come into this world to make God's presence known, but Jesus came to send ultimately his Spirit to indwell believers so that the knowledge, the light of God's truth would be made known to them and the Spirit would dwell within them so that they would come to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light shining on the bread communicates the presence of God. And the New Covenant teaches that God's presence indwells the believers. And when Paul picks this up in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul then goes on to say, therefore, we are to honor God with our bodies and to flee from sexual immorality. But what Paul is doing there is he is saying, because we are in God's presence, the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts, therefore, we enjoy the presence of God regularly. Just as it was saying there three times in verses 2, 3, and 4. Just as the bread is before the lamp, the lampstand regularly. Believers who are joined with Christ, those who are living in communion with Christ, are no longer to walk in darkness, but they are to turn from sin and to live in communion with God. The element of regularity, living in the presence of God's glory, is where all of time is leading. Time moves on, but time is directed by God's purpose. And here is the relief. We don't control time, but time is something that God gives to his people to enjoy him. Revelation says, the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. God's glory will radiate in the new heavens and the new earth, and God's people will delight in it. Time is sacred. The people of God were to learn to understand that all of time is to be lived in the conscious presence of God. That's the ideal. The bread is to always be in God's presence. And so these priests have a very mundane job in one sense, but it serves a great end. God's purpose is to make his glory shine before his people, and they are to enjoy him. Have you come to see not only that God has made himself known, but that God has come that we might enjoy him forever? Or are we using our time for nothing more than for ourselves, trying to squeeze every last drop for our self-serving ends, while denying or ignoring the God who has made us, the God who has made us for communion with him? Have you come to realize that God has not only created us, but he's created us for fellowship?